Ron Heverin. My friends, a Jewish mother was at once amused and amazed when her little son lifted contemplative eyes and remarked, "Mama, mustn't God's feet be beautiful?" When pressed gently to advance his reason for such a conclusion, the reply was faultlessly logical. Manavu el Heharim, Raglei Mevaseya Mashmia Shalom, Mevaseya Tov Mashmia Yeshua. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger of good tidings that announceth peace, the harbinger of good tidings that announceth salvation. In my dictionary, the messenger of the good tidings of salvation is called an evangelist. And in previous messages, we made the comforting discovery that God himself was the first evangelist, the first missionary, announcing the good tidings of salvation through the seed of the woman to our first parents in Eden's fateful garden. I refer you to the third chapter of Bereshit, that is, Genesis, for the details. In tracing the biblical line of this promised seed, we made the interesting discovery that all four of Israel's famous matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel, were sterile, and each was therefore the subject of divine, biological miracle and intervention in bringing their sons to life. The messianic tribe of Judah owed its very existence to birth by divine miracle. If the aura of miracle hangs over the messianic tribe, how much more should that same feature be expected when that tribe itself gives birth to the Messiah himself, the real and promised seed of the woman? My friends, one of our modern Jewish philosophers has well written, and here I quote him, "A distinction must be made between man in his essential nature and man in his fallen existential condition, and if this distinction is but for a moment lost sight of, everything is in danger of collapsing into utter confusion." How true are the words I have quoted, and therefore how consoling the divine Edenic promise of redemption. We shall find that the gradual unfolding of the mystery of redemption will also be accompanied by the gradual unveiling of the mystery of the Godhead, for it is God himself who is revealed as Goel HaOlam, the Redeemer of the world. How will this redemption be accomplished? I feel convinced that the pristine Edenic promise of the seed of the woman was interpreted in remote times as involving in some manner a union of deity with humanity. For a moment, let us leave the God-planted garden of Eden where every form of fruit and foliage fell from the hands of God, and let us enter the hallucinated hothouse of uncorrected human traditions where the original divine redemptive promise has suffered such perversion. In the weird arboretum of mythology, let us pluck some of the bizarre and grotesque fruits which dangle awkwardly from the trees of unenlightened human imaginings. Although they may differ in color and shape, yet if we extract their juices, we shall find the same essential flavor, the concept of the union of deity with humanity, a union achieved either by the apotheosis of man ascending to godhood or by the theanthropy of a god descending to manhood. Such are the juices of the fruits of mythology, retained largely by the strange fibers of metempsychosis and transmigration. The Hindu mythology, for instance, included Krishna, deity become man, crushing the head of the serpent, while the serpent strikes his heel. So also the mythology of Mexico, contributes the concept of the highest God becoming incarnate through a human mother. When we reduce the wild vagaries and fantasies of heathendom down to their essential suggestion, we are forced to the conviction that the original Edenic promise of the seed of the woman had become widely diffused among all nations. Such diffusion doubtless reflected the innate yearning of fallen mankind longing for harmonious communion with a personal God. It is refreshing to turn from the humid atmosphere of mythology, for 'tis an unweeded garden that grows to seed. Things rank and gross in nature possess it merely, to quote Hamlet. Once again we fill our lungs with the pellucid and fragrant air of Eden, from whence the promise first sprang. Shall we seek to ascertain what our first parents, who received the precious pledge, thought of it? With the doom of death, death spiritual, and its fruit, death physical, now passed upon the fallen pair, what was the reaction of Adam to the promise of the seed? Well, obviously, he knew that so surely as death had been in his transgression, so surely was life in God's guarantee. For, after the promise, we read of Adam, Vayikara ha-Adam shem ishto chava, ki hi hayata aim kol chai. And the man called his wife's name Chava, because she was the mother of all lives. In Hebrew, the word Chava, translated Eve in English, means life, and Adam's eyes of hope were turned towards the right sex when he looked for life and redemption through the seed of the woman. And what of Chava, Eve herself? What was the impression the promise produced upon the mind of the first mother? Well, frankly, I doubt if any of my gracious listeners will be prepared for the amazing reaction the unadorned scriptures disclose. Allow me to read you the Hebrew of Bereshis, that is Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, and then to follow it with an equally unadorned English translation. Vaha'adam yada et chava ishto, vahataha veteled et kain, vetomer kaniti ish et Adonai. And the man knew Chava, his wife, and she conceived and bore even Cain. And she said, I have gotten me a man, even God. These are startling and tremendous words, so startling that mere human comprehension has found it impossible to let the words of Chava have their full grammatical force and meaning. Hence, some translations supply words not in the original Hebrew, such, for instance, as, I have gotten a man from the Lord, or I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. The words I have emphasized are not found in the original text, and in my opinion are not justified. Permit me, therefore, humbly to submit to you that this scripture, unadorned, conveys to the mind that the words of Chava clearly imply that she thought Cain was God become man to achieve the redemptive promise which she had received at first hand from God himself. I believe that which I have suggested was Chava's interpretation of the pledge is worthy of our sober respect. Of course she was mistaken as to identity, but was she mistaken regarding the means whereby the Eternal would implement his promise? If I have assessed correctly Chava's expectations in the Edenic promise, then I invite you to observe that this was no mere theophany she was expecting, no mere appearance of God, as he had appeared later to Abraham at Mamre, to Jacob at Peniel, to Moses at Sinai, to Joshua near Jericho, to Isaiah in the temple, or to Manoah and his wife. No, she was not expecting theophany. She was expecting incarnation, deity enveloped in pure humanity via human birth. In my message number 29, I quoted the Jerusalem Targum on the messianic import of the amazing scripture, Genesis 3:15. Allow me to quote the Targum once again. "But there shall be a remedy for the children of the woman. But for thee, O serpent, there shall be no remedy. For hereafter they shall to each other perform a healing, in the heel in the latter end of the days, in the days of King Messiah." Chava sees deity incarnate. Our early Jewish commentators see the same promise as relating to the chosen person, the Messiah, and our early rabbinical writings make much use of the typical relationship of Adam to the promised Messiah. Kemad modem homo primus fuit primus in peccato, sic messias erit ultimus ad auferendum peccatum penitus, and Adamus postremus est messias. Such is the quotation, which could be translated, "In what manner the first man was first in transgression, so Messiah will be last in bearing away transgression inward, and the last Adam is Messiah." Yes, my friends, this is undoubtedly the early Jewish concept of the Edenic promise of redemption through the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is the Messiah. But does this necessarily imply deity incarnate? Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panavelecha, v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.